Bellini. Mr. Florsheim?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Steve Florsheim and I represent Lucchini Italia Company. This is Lucchini's appeal from the district court's denial of a preliminary injunction motion that Lucchini had sought to prevent defendant Grappolini's continued misappropriation of trade secrets. Lucchini is a small company with great expertise in marketing high-end consumer products, food products. In this case, in every case, before Lucchini launches a new product, it spends a substantial amount of money doing market research and generally research about figuring out the best way of branding its product and bringing it to the public. That's exactly what Lucchini did in connection with its essential olive oil product that it was intending to launch. It did the work. I shared that information and its plans with only its few top executives and with Mr. Grappolini, a consultant who had agreed not to disclose the information to anyone. Instead of doing what he was supposed to do, Mr. Grappolini, in Lucchini's view, betrayed Lucchini, and went out and took Lucchini's information and began marketing his own product, his own essential olive oil, and did it using bottles that look like Lucchini's bottles and using a marketing plan that looks stunningly like Lucchini's marketing plan, using all of our information. And so Lucchini filed a lawsuit and sought a preliminary injunction. The district court, after a fairly extended delay considering a motion to dismiss based on personal jurisdiction, which was resolved in Lucchini's favor, ended up denying.
How long the delay?
The delay was about 6 months, Your Honor. During that interim, we went in a number of occasions and said, Your Honor, can we please get a hearing on the preliminary injunction? And the court said he needed to consider the issues of personal jurisdiction first, and that would take as long as it took. He indicated at the time that he would move things along expeditiously once that issue was resolved. In the end, that hasn't happened. After the issue was resolved, Judge Norgel decided right away that he would deny the motion for a preliminary injunction because he believed it to be moot. And that's the basis that it says in the minute order that he issued. We believe he was wrong in denying it as being moot. We think he got the legal standard wrong, and we think that he got the facts wrong. The facts that he based it on were his belief that there was an agreement between the parties to maintain the status quo, but there wasn't any such agreement. And even in the Grappolini defendant's appellate brief, they don't claim that there was any actual agreement between the parties to maintain.
What did the district judge base that finding on? Anything in the record at all?
Nothing in the record at all, Your Honor. He apparently had an impression from the parties that since a period of time had gone by and there was no additional evidence that had been presented to him that perhaps there was some type of agreement in place. Certainly nobody ever told Judge Norgel that there was any type of agreement in place, and I think the record is clear on that, and I think that Grappolini's counsel will concede that point.
You haven't started selling your product yet, have you?
That's correct, Your Honor. We haven't.
Do you intend to?
Absolutely, Judge. We have been working for the last 2 years to basically bring a product to market. The reason we have been delayed in doing that has been another issue in the case that isn't necessarily relevant to the preliminary injunction motion. Mr. Grappolini's job was to provide a supplier of essential oils.
Oh, you don't have your oil, you mean?
We don't have the oil yet.
Yeah.
We have the bottles. We have the marketing plan. We need something to fill up the bottles with. We have been working with other suppliers, but it takes time to find a quality supplier that's up to Lucchini's standard and bring it to market, and that hasn't happened yet. We hope that it will happen soon, and we hope that when we do bring it to market, all the work that we did getting everything ready will still have some meaning for us. And we're talking here about work that took a substantial amount of time and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What's the status of the arbitration?
The arbitration in Italy has been, final arguments have been concluded as of March 26th.
Does it have anything to do with this case?
In my view, absolutely not, Your Honor. Obviously, the parties are the same in Italy and here, but the issues are entirely different. In fact, Lucchini has no claims whatsoever pending in the arbitration. The arbitration relates to Mr. Grappolini feeling that he was wrongfully terminated from his position as a consultant, which went well beyond anything relating to the essential oil product, and his claims for damages relating to certain equipment that he purchased after he was terminated, which he says he was still permitted to purchase. That doesn't have anything to do with our issues here. We don't believe that the issues overlap, although clearly Grappolini's counsel has represented to the district court that they think there is some overlap. We've asked the district court specifically to take a look at the pleadings and accept briefing on that, and the district court has declined to do that. There is currently a stay that remains pending in the district court based on Judge Norville's belief that maybe something will come out of the arbitration that would be useful for the case here, and his further belief that there's no damages that are going to occur in the interim that couldn't be corrected at the end of the day with money damages. And that is obviously the point that Grappolini focuses on in his appellate brief, this concept that there is no irreparable harm that is occurring. And frankly, we think that Grappolini got that all wrong because he seems to have simply missed the point that this is a trade secret case. Grappolini argues that any damages that occur can simply be made up by figuring out how many bottles of olive oil he sold, and presumably some type of lost profit analysis could be done. But that will not remedy any of the harm that's occurring to Lucchini in connection with the loss of its intellectual property, its trade secrets. Grappolini,
could you explain a little bit more what type of trade secret Ms. Florsheim surrounds olive oil?
Absolutely, Judge. The trade secrets that involve olive oil here, from Lucchini's standpoint, is the marketing information that it had gathered. What Lucchini did was it impaneled focus groups, marketing groups, showed different types of bottles, and tried to figure out exactly what type of design features will sell the best. And strangely enough, it's very counterintuitive in many ways what they determined would sell the best. It's not always the functional best that makes things sell. Lucchini also developed a plan for figuring out what price points consumers respond to the best when a product is first launched and in particular types of stores, and then later when a product has become more established on the market. Lucchini also developed a plan to figure out where do you launch the product, where do you go to next, and so on and so on. Do you go to specialty stores, grocery stores, gourmets, chefs? Not only in terms of who will buy it, but how do you establish that brand identity efficiently without spending, you know, $1 zillion necessarily on advertising? How do you get free advertising by getting into the public consciousness? And they're very successful at this. This is not their first product. Their Lucchini olive oil, non-essential oil, non-flavored olive oil, is already on the market. It's become a leading high-end seller of olive oil in the country in just a couple of years, and that's really because of not only having a superior product, but really having great expertise in marketing, and not just great instincts, but actually doing the work, the hard marketing work that costs money before you ever launch the product. And that's the exact type of information that Grappolini doesn't have. He's very good at picking out good olive oil. There's other people that can do that, but he's very good at it. What he doesn't have is any expertise in marketing that product in the United States. So what did he do? Instead of going and doing the hard work and the expensive work that Lucchini did, he took our stuff. He took it and he started to use it and put it in his own bottles that look like our bottles. And that's exactly what we believe that we have a right to stop him from doing, ultimately, permanently, but more importantly, for purposes of preliminary injunction, stopping him from doing it while the case is pending until we can get an adjudication on the merits.
How are you able to sue him in the United States? Or his company, what kind of presence do they have?
His presence is really in a couple of different areas. Our initial argument on personal jurisdiction to the district court was that Mr. Grappolini received all of these trade secrets over here. There were discussions in Italy, but substantial discussions in the United States. He came over here, got the trade secrets, took them back to Italy, stuck it in bottles, and sold it to the U.S. market. So his products, both his essential oil products and his general olive oil products, are being sold all over the place. In fact, his essential olive oil product...
Does he have an office of some sort? I was wondering partly about, in the question of adequacy of damages, if you obtained a damages judgment, would you have to go to Italy to enforce it, or does he have assets in the United States, or an office or something?
Your Honor, I wish I knew the answer to that question. We have yet to get discovery. I don't know what he has here. I know that at the time that we were dealing with him, he shared office space with Lucchini. He clearly doesn't do that anymore. He had telephones in the United States and other things. He may now, he may not. It's not a matter of record. We don't know.
Okay, thank you.
We do know that his product is over here. It's in stores on Michigan Avenue at Sur La Table. We've seen it in other stores in the Chicago area. That's a matter of record in the case. We don't know whether there is any of his product that he is warehousing over here for distribution to U.S. stores or whether it's all been sold in Italy. we've been trying to get discovery in the case, obviously, for a substantial period of time. We don't know.
Where are you with discovery?
In our view, really nowhere. We served discovery last November. We served document requests and interrogatories and requested depositions. Mr. Grappolini went into Judge Norville and said, can we stay all of the discovery? In fact, can we stay even our need to answer the complaint? And because of the pendency of the arbitration in Italy, an arbitration that we've certainly taken the position has nothing to do with anything, Judge Norville agreed, and he has not ordered them to provide any discovery whatsoever.
Well,
so
now, when you say he has, is he allowed a stay? Or
yes, Your Honor. He originally allowed a stay until March 26th, which was the date that Grappolini contended the arbitration would be concluded. We said, no, it won't be concluded by then, and fortunately or unfortunately, we were proved correct. Our best information is that the earliest that we're going to get a ruling from the arbitrators in Italy is sometime early this summer, more likely toward the middle of the summer. Again, we don't think that that will have anything, have any bearing on anything in this case. Certainly it won't eliminate any of Lucchini's claims. And we think certainly with the issue of irreparable harm standing out there, we'd like to know exactly what he's doing in the meanwhile. The most important point that I'd like to emphasize to your honors is that this is a trade secret case. It was brought as a trade secret case. It's all over our motion for preliminary injunction and all over our appellate brief. And Grappolini's counsel simply has ignored that fact, believes that there are no damages that can't be remedied with money damages. And in fact, in a trade secret case of this nature, we think that irreparable harm is presumed. Certainly in the PepsiCo case, which is, in our view, strikingly similar to this case, it's a very similar situation. There the court found irreparable harm, simply where a executive with specific knowledge of a company's plans went to a competitive company. Even though that executive said, I'm not going to use it, his knowledge, his ability to anticipate was enough to support entry of an injunction. We believe our situation here is very similar, and we would ask that the court either direct the district court to enter a preliminary injunction now or remand the case to the district court for further findings and expedited discovery in a preliminary injunction hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Florstein. Mr. Lopez?
Good morning. May it please the court. Jose Lopez on behalf of Giuseppe Grappolini and Grappolini G. Your Honors, we think that the district court properly found that there was no irreparable harm in this case and
denied
the injunction.
Well, wait. I thought his ground was that case was moot.
Well, Your Honor,
the request for preliminary injunction was moot.
Admittedly, the minute order.
Where did he find that there was no irreparable harm?
Admittedly, in the case, the minute order does state that the finding of the preliminary injunction is moot. However, if we look at the minute order in the context of the entire record and the comments in which the court made in the February 15th hearing, it's clear that his analysis was focused on the irreparable harm.
I don't see that. You'll have to direct me to the transcript.
In the supplemental appendix, page 61 through 62,
I'm looking at that.
At the bottom of the page in 61, the judge states that the parties have consistently, in response to Lucchini's
lament, have lived together for about 6 months without any clear indication of irreparable harm. Is that it, as far as a finding on the critical issue with respect to the motion for preliminary injunction?
Well, in addition, on page 62, the court states, if these sales are known and ascertainable, the irreparability argument seems to fail because damages could be applied or ascertained because it is so obvious.
Well, that, of course, is that's the point that your opponent was making. That it just the point is not that Lucchini may have lost a few sales to Grappolini. It's that Grappolini has appropriated its trade secrets and can go into competition with it and cause all sorts of harm, which would be very difficult to measure. And Judge Norville doesn't address that at all.
Right, and we believe, based on the record, Judge Wood asked if there was any information in the record to sustain the district court's finding that there was a status quo agreement or if there was some status quo being maintained by the party. The declarations that were submitted in this case, I think, clearly show that there's been two sales. Now, the PepsiCo case that Mr. Florsheim referred to.
The question is not how many sales there have been. The question is, what can Grappolini do with these trade secrets that he's appropriated?
Well, part of the problem.
Discovery has stayed. How do we know what Grappolini is doing right now? Should we go down to Fox and Oboe and see if we can find Grappolini on the shelves?
Well, Your Honor, what we've done is in the supplemental declarations, I think it's clear that we state that Grappolini is not engaged in flavored olive oil.
What is a supplemental declaration?
I'm sorry?
What is a supplemental declaration?
Well, the first
declaration. Where is it?
The supplemental declarations were attached to various motions that were submitted in the district court. They were so named because initially filing the motion to dismiss, we filed the declaration, and in order to avoid confusion in the district court, we titled those supplemental.
What is a declaration? I'm not familiar with that term.
The declaration in this case was a sworn statement by our client to specifically.
So these are affidavits?
That's correct.
And has Lucchini had an opportunity to depose the affiants to see whether they're telling the truth?
They have not.
Then how does anyone know what, in fact, Grappolini is doing?
Well, Your Honor, what the district court, we believe, based its decision on are exactly
based
those.
What decision?
Its decision to deny the preliminary injunction.
That it was moot. Well, we know it's not moot. You're not defending a finding of mootness.
No, we are not. What we believe the district court's decision to be in that it was denied.
Wouldn't it, at a minimum, be prudent to direct Judge Norville to look at the real issue, the real issues in the case, likelihood of success on the merits, balance of harms, rather than try to piece together some kind of defensible decision from two sentences in an oral hearing?
Well, Your Honor, it's I don't believe it's for us to try and grade what the district court has done and to try to determine what they do behind closed doors. In our opinion,
you'll have to spell that out for me.
In our opinion, we think that analysis was done. We think that
where's the evidence of it?
Well, the evidence is in the statements in the February 15th hearing.
You mean the two sentences you read?
That's correct.
That's the whole decision, in effect.
Well,
that you're defending.
In addition to an order on the back of a minute.
No, but
order.
That order is obviously wrong, right? It says that the motion is moot. That's wrong. You don't defend that.
Right. That's correct. And
so forget the minute order. Minute order is nothing. We're down to the two sentences in the transcript.
Well, the two sentences in the transcript and the evidence before the district court, which the evidence is that there were two sales of this flavored olive oil. Now, to address the point of the trade secrets, that in the PepsiCo case, there was ongoing sales. These products were continually being sold. Here, there was no evidence whatsoever of any sales beyond February 2001.
How do you know that, Mr. Lopez, if there's no discovery?
Again, the declarations that were submitted and...
Well, they speak to what point in time about the two sales?
That's correct. And in addition to that...
What is that point in time?
The point in time, the first sale was October 2000, which was 1,200 bottles of oil to Sur La Table. It is those bottles that are still being sold. And if Lucchini maintains that we stole their marketing plan, I'm sure the marketing plan didn't designate that there would be one sale in October 2000 and then another sale in February 2001 and nothing else. It doesn't seem to me to be very compelling.
I don't think you responded to Chief Judge Flom's question. What is the date of the affidavits?
There were three affidavits filed, Your Honor. I don't have the dates with me. I have them at my table.
That's all right.
That's right. Don't take time for that now.
Well, we don't know anything that's happened since then, right?
Other than his declaration that he had no intention to have any other flavored olive oil sales to Sur La Table.
Okay, but if the merits arguments of Lucchini are correct, then Mr. Grappolini is a kind of thief. So why should Lucchini take at face value these affidavits?
Well, Your Honor,
why isn't he entitled to immediate discovery? I don't understand the handling of the case in the district court, why it was so protracted, and why Lucchini has not been permitted to have discovery.
Well, in the first instance, to address Your Honor's point, we don't believe that there was jurisdiction, which is why we moved for that, and we were a little concerned or dismayed as to finding that there was no jurisdiction.
But you didn't appeal it.
We did not. The case is, that was not a final order for us to appeal. We have to wait until the conclusion of the case, and that would be an issue that we would raise. the jurisdiction argument, that
wait a second. What are you saying? You're saying you can't object to a motion for preliminary injunction on the ground there's no jurisdiction?
No, we did. And that motion was denied.
Are you saying you can't defend the district court's denial of the preliminary injunction on jurisdictional grounds?
No, that's not why he denied it. He denied our motion for...
It doesn't matter. Can't you defend an order in your favor on any ground, even if it wasn't the ground of the district court? In other words, you have an alternative ground. You could have presented to us as a reason for upholding the denial of the motion. There was no jurisdiction.
That is
you
correct.
You decided not to.
Well, based on the district court's ruling that there was no jurisdiction.
Was no jurisdiction?
That's what the finding in the district court was.
Why isn't this before? I don't know. Now I'm completely lost. You're saying the judge found no jurisdiction, but
no,
you're not
I'm
defending
sorry.
That
the judge,
finding?
No, I misspoke. The judge found that there was jurisdiction and denied our motion.
And you disagree.
That's correct.
But you have not argued that to us. Is that right?
We have not argued that. That's correct.
So let's forget about that, right?
Yes.
Why'd you bring it up?
Well, I was responding to Your Honor's comment earlier about the jurisdiction and how the order would be enforced.
I was asking you something entirely different. Why is Lucchini entitled to prompt discovery?
Well, the basis that we argued in the district court, and which the district court accepted, was that the arbitration currently pending in Italy, which our information is different from Lucchini.
Whatever your information, why should the pendency of the parallel case, did they institute the arbitration proceeding?
We did.
Why should your having instituted the arbitration proceeding preclude them from getting discovery to which they seem clearly entitled?
We believe that the issues in the arbitration will overlap with this litigation.
So what?
Well, there may
can
be...
They get can they get discovery in the from the arbitrators in Italy?
I believe they have gotten some discovery from the arbitrators.
Discovery about your activities in the United States they're getting from arbitrators
no,
in Italy?
No, they did not get
okay,
discovery
so
from...
Okay, so what does the arbitration have to do with their need for discovery about your activities in the United States?
Well, what we argued to the district court is that the issues in the arbitration overlap with the litigation.
So what?
Well, there may be
they're
issues...
They're still entitled to discovery unless somehow they get it out of the arbitrators.
Well, Your Honor, what... We are appealing is the denial of the preliminary injunction and not...
You're not appealing. You're the appellee.
What we're arguing against is the, of Lucchini's position regarding the preliminary injunction. The stay that was entered was based on the fact that the judge felt there was issues that were collateral to the U.S. litigation and that there could be issue preclusion motions based on the findings of the London court's decision.
No, wait, you've lost me. Preclusion rulings, what does that have to do with the discovery?
Well, Your Honor, in the district court's opinion, they didn't believe that it was necessary for us to engage in discovery until that decision was rendered.
Why?
Well, we don't know why.
Because they need the discovery now to find out what you're doing in the United States. It seems to be essential to the irreparable injury inquiry. I just don't get the logic of it.
Well, Your Honor, again, what we argue is that the evidence before the district court was sufficient for him to find that there was no irreparable harm. And
how
that
can that be when without discovery we don't have any idea what Grappolini is doing right now in the United States?
Well, what the district court did accept was a sworn statement from
I
our
know,
client.
I know, but it wasn't subjected to cross-examination, you know, so how do we know that?
Well, those declarations are submitted in good faith and
how
we
do
don't
we know they're submitted in good faith?
Well, they're under penalty of perjury, and Mr. Grappolini
well,
certainly
well, that's like saying you don't need a trial. Just let someone put in an affidavit, and that's the end of it.
Well, I would submit that sometimes that happens in summary judgment motions, and a district court
it's
can
not
rely.
Summary judgment.
No, but they can rely on the affidavits that are submitted to render their decisions.
Only if they're not contradicted.
Well, and that's correct. And in their allegations, in Lucchini's allegations, they make no other statement other than there was one sale in February of 2001.
They don't know. They don't know what you're doing.
Well, but that's the basis for the preliminary
that's
injunction.
That's why they want discovery, to find out what you're doing.
Well, but that doesn't tie in with the preliminary injunction. To have discovery afterwards is one thing, but to come in and say that the preliminary injunction was improperly granted because of the ongoing sales is quite different. If after the fact of discovery they find out that we are in fact selling, that's quite a different matter. But when they moved for a preliminary injunction, that was not the case. What they knew at that time was one sale in 2001. Now, if they're arguing for discovery to sustain that position, that there's other ongoing sales, that's quite different. But we're not at that point yet.
Yeah.
So it may be that it's just premature, and maybe after discovery they find out that there are ongoing sales or there's another basis for a preliminary injunction, but at this point there is
not.
When
are they going to get discovery, though?
That's up to the district court. This court has said that that court should manage its own docket and set discovery according to its schedule. Once the arbitration ruling has been rendered, we believe the district court will let the court proceed.
Does your client handle other products besides olive oil?
No, he does not.
Are they in business?
He does olive oil and flavored olive oil, essentially. But there are no other products that we know of.
They're still in business, though.
They are still in business. That's correct. Although there's no other sales in the United States of the flavored olive oil that we know of, other than the two that are mentioned.
How can the district court be comfortable off the affidavit on the sales, Mr. Lopez, that there is no trade secret problem?
Well, the declarations also contain, and I don't think we've seen people argue, that we are actually the creators of the flavored olive oil. So that in and of itself is not a trade secret. Mr. Florsheim described bottling shapes and sizes, price points,
marketing program,
and launches products. That is nowhere in the record. What they have claimed are trade secrets and a broad-based marketing plan. So none of that information was before the district court. For us to argue against that now at this point, I mean, there's been no evidence that that's what the marketing plan was or that we have somehow stolen that plan. And again, if that's the case, what we have is a single sale to a Salt Lake City retail store and a sale a year earlier to a store in Seattle, Washington, which we don't believe is any type of marketing plan or grand scheme, certainly worth $1 million, what Lucchini alleges. And again, just to reiterate the point, the court also stated that the money damages would satisfy the irreparable harm and that those were easily quantifiable. And as Your Honor stated in the Prafke case, that where there's truly just financial damages.
If you have no intention of selling this stuff, why are you fighting so hard against the preliminary injunction?
Your Honor, what we have done is we are fighting the preliminary injunction. We don't believe the lawsuit has any basis. We think that the ruling in the arbitration will address a lot of those issues, and we think it was filed quite essentially as a spite suit to counteract the arbitration that we filed. And in conclusion, we would ask the district court's decision to deny Lucchini's preliminary injunction motion be affirmed.
All right, thank you. Lopez, Mr. Florsheim.
Mr. Lopez suggested that I was telling you something that wasn't in the record about the nature of our trade secrets. I would direct the court to the short appendix, pages 20, 21, 22, which is paragraph 9 of Mr. Frigo's affidavit that was attached to the preliminary injunction motion, in which Mr. Frigo describes the price points, the design, the very things that I was discussing, and describes the very nature of the harm there. I think I also need briefly to respond to Mr. Lopez's suggestion that someone could rely simply upon a party's declaration. Clearly that's not the case, and clearly we would like to cross-examine, but in this case I think that point is made even more clearly than usual. In this case, Mr. Grappolini submitted what's labeled a declaration or an affidavit. Originally this said he had made no sales at all of olive oil products in the United States. Not a one. He wasn't involved in the United States. He did that in connection with his motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction. We responded to that by coming up with pictures of his bottles on stores in Chicago, and then he submitted a supplemental affidavit saying, you know, oops, there was this one sale. And then his lawyers apparently found the stuff on sale at Sur La Table, and he submitted yet another one saying, oops again, it's actually on sale there too. What's noteworthy, though, is that while the stuff is clearly on sale in a couple of stores, we have no idea what other stores. Mr. Lopez suggests, and the brief has suggested even, I think, more strongly, that there is evidence in the record that these are the only sales. There's no statement in any of Mr. Grappolini's affidavits to that effect. Mr. Grappolini says that He acknowledges making these two sales now in his supplemental affidavits, but he doesn't say those are the only sales, and he certainly doesn't say that he plans to make no sales in the future. Most importantly for us, Your Honor, we want a preliminary injunction to prevent the future sales. What's been done is clearly done, and we'll have to resolve that with money damages, but the preliminary injunction is needed to prevent further harm, further irreparable harm to Lucchini. And it's for that reason that we would request that either this court enter a preliminary injunction or direct the district court to do so, or send it back so the district court can finally allow us this discovery and an opportunity to have a preliminary injunction hearing where we can finally be heard.
I'm not sure that it's completely relevant, but it's intrigued me throughout this case, or this appeal, I mean. You are going to be the marketer of this, right?
Correct.
Crepolini produces the olive oil.
He purchases the olive oil.
Purchases the olive oil.
Yes.
Why was he involved in the in some what you claim, you know, you shared with him your marketing and all that? What why would, as from a business standpoint, is he if he's just the supplier involved in all your marketing schemes?
You know, 20/20 hindsight is one thing, but he was involved as part of a marketing strategy. Lucchini used Mr. Grappolini in connection with its original olive oil sales. Mr. Grappolini was presented to the public by Lucchini, and believe me, we regret it, as essentially the Juan Valdez of olive oil. He was part of the marketing strategy. And
he has that standing in the...
Yes, we built him up, and I mean, unfortunately, that's not part of the lawsuit. We can't do much about that now, but Juan Valdez was selling his own coffee. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you to all counsel. Case is taken under advisement. Court will proceed to the...